Pardon the Interruption, PTI. It's on ESPN. I'm not sure I even like ESPN anymore. But I do like this show, and the idea of this show was like they talk about different topics for about 3 minutes, then they go on to the next topic, and then on to the next topic. I kind of like that format, so I thought, well, you know, I thought that'd be a cool format for a Bible class, especially when I'm only doing this one time, so just have, you know, maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes on each little topic, and then go on. And they have like a checklist, but I don't have a checklist over here. I was looking for should have made a PowerPoint or something, but anyway. I guess the first topic is actually not on my list, and that's about an abomination. I don't know if you heard it yet, but one of our politicians said something very abominable about today. I mean, as far as today, it's the Lord's Day. Some people may think it's a very special Lord's Day, but I don't. Even though it's the right time of year, it's definitely the right time of year. But one of our politicians, very leading politician, made some abominable comments about today. Did anybody see that? Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. Just incredible. So yeah, maybe you want to see what the big guy said about it. Just unbelievable abomination. but I don't want to get into politics. Enoch. First topic is Enoch. And very interesting person. And just like, what do we really know about Enoch? In Genesis 5:21, it says Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. So, one thing, Enoch was the father of Methuselah. Then, 5:22, then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. 365 years, you know, so as many days of the year as, that's how he lived that many years. That's incredible. So it's kind of like, so I guess he was 365 squared days old, right? More or less, a little bit more, because you got somebody 365. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that's what Genesis says about Enoch. So God took him. In Hebrews, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So he's a very faithful person. And then in Jude 1:14, it says, the Bible says, it was also about these men that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold the Lord with many thousands of his holy ones. So very interesting character. So Enoch is one of the two people in the Bible that didn't die. Who's the other one?
Elijah.
That's right. So Enoch and Elijah did not die. So I guess we'll switch gears. Now we'll talk about a witch, the Witch of Endor. And actually, the Bible doesn't call her a witch, but she's actually the Bible calls her a medium, like a mediator. And very interesting, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and very, very interesting little chapter here. And the first few verses are really kind of interesting to talk about David. And David was kind of an outlaw in Israel at this time. And so, you know, he goes to hide with the Philistines. So he was hiding with the enemy. So it's kind of like a movie, right? I mean, kind of like a movie plot. You hide with the enemy because somebody's out to get you. Very, very interesting little story. And then, but anyway, Samuel, Saul, King Saul, apparently God was not listening to Saul. God wouldn't answer Saul because Saul had sinned earlier. And so, starting in verse 3, now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel lamented him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had removed from the land of those who were mediums and spiritualists. And Philistines gathered together and came camped to Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired unto the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Then Saul said to his servants, seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. Then Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes and went, and he had two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. But the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are medium and spiritualists from the land. Why are you then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Then when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid, but what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming out of the earth. He said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed his face to the ground and did homage. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I'm greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me and no longer answers me, either through the prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may make known to me what I should do. Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and become your adversary? The Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. As you did not obey the Lord and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, so the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord has also will also give over Israel along with you into the hands of the Philistines. Therefore, tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. Indeed, the Lord will give over the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Then Saul immediately fell full length upon the ground and very afraid because of the words of Samuel. Also, there was no strength in him, so for he had eaten no food all day and all night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified and said to him, "Behold, your maidservant has obeyed you, and I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to your words, which you spoke to me. So now also, please listen to the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you that you may eat and have strength when you go your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." However, his servants, together with the women, urged him, and he listened to them. So he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. The woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she quickly slaughtered it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread. And she brought it before Saul and his servants. And then they arose and went away that night. So when I read that story, I'm like, there's two things that stand out to me. First, of course, is the story of the medium, right? Samuel speaking to Saul, through this fake medium, right? Through the fake witch. So why do we know it was a fake witch? Very interesting. First of all, we just kind of know, right, that those kind of things aren't real. But first thing that, this got this from Apologetics Press, she was surprised when the spirit came up in the first place, right? She probably just had like a little crystal ball kind of thing, and usually just pretends that there's something in there, right? And all of a sudden this time there's it starts really speaking. I mean, she was freaked out. She was very surprised. And second of all, she thought it was Elohim. She thought it was divine. She thought that Samuel, whoever was speaking to her, was divine. And it was actually Samuel. And third, she did not recognize Samuel, but had to describe it to Saul, and then Saul recognized that it was Samuel. So very, that's very interesting. And the second thing, okay, you're in the middle of the night. Okay, this one might even be more amazing to me. You're in the middle of the night, and the night's already partly gone, and doesn't say exactly, but, you see this guy needs something to eat, and you don't go to the refrigerator and get something, right? Get a piece of meat. You slaughter a calf and cook it and feed it to him. I'm like, that's a lot of work, right? I mean, I grew up on a farm, and my understanding is slaughtering a calf, I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, I've only seen one, I guess it was a couple. I see a couple cattle, with their throat slit, ready to be, but it's kind of it wasn't an immediate thing. I mean, has anybody ever slaughtered a cow? I mean, I've seen chickens, we used to a couple times, but it was like an all-day affair, maybe to cut up 20 chicken, kill 20 chickens and cut them up. That was like an all-day thing. I mean, to me, a calf, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, to me, I'm just amazed she was able to pull that off. Just me personally, I don't know. But anyway, that's enough for that. So we're done with Enoch and we're done with the witch. Okay. And so go to the longest book in the Bible. What is the longest book in the Bible? Okay. Is it close? Is there any book that's close to being as long as Psalms? What is the second longest book in the Bible? And you're right, Psalms is the longest book of the Bible. Jeremiah is the second longest book in the Bible. And, but if you count Hebrew words, Psalms has 42,704. And Jeremiah has 42,654. So in the end, Psalms is only 50 words longer than the book of Jeremiah, which I find very, if you count Hebrew words, I find that very interesting. So it's, if you look at it, it's only like 1,000. So it's like 0.1% longer. So just barely longer. I guess stay with the Psalms. The Psalms theme. And a psalm structure. One thing very interesting I found about the book of Psalms is the structure. Basic structure of a psalm. There's very, the main two sections of a psalm is there's a dirge part and then a praise part. So you have like, I think there's more like five sections really, but the main two are dirge. There's always going to be normally there's going to be a dirge, not always, and then a praise. And usually the dirge is first and then the praise is second. But very interesting that somebody noticed, if you think that the book of Psalms is just a collection of random psalms, the book of song, the collection of psalms in entirety follows the same pattern though. That there's more toward the beginning, the lower numbered psalms are more of a dirge, and the higher numbers toward the end, they get to be more and more praise. So I find that interesting that the basic structure of a psalm and the basic structure of the book of Psalms is the same, that there's more dirge songs at the beginning and more praise songs at the end. Very interesting. The shortest and longest psalm. What is the shortest and longest psalm?
119
is the longest.
Amber Alert, Robeson County, Black Jeep Cherokee Latitude, KLH2066.
Okay, I'm powered off. Okay. So the longest psalm is 119. A lot of people know that. But I was thinking it was a couple right near there. 117. 117 is only two verses long. Shortest psalm in the Bible. But the longest is 119. Goodness gracious, this is not... I've only been here 20 minutes. I thought this would take longer. Oh, dear me. Okay. Okay, shortest verse in the Bible. What is it? Jesus wept. Okay, Jesus wept, John 11:35. Okay, so is that truly the shortest verse in the Bible? In English, it is. In English, it is definitely the shortest verse in the Bible. But if you go to the Greek, John 11:35 is 16 letters long and it's 7 syllables. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16, which is "Rejoice always," in Greek is 14 letters, 2 letters shorter, And it's six syllables, so less letters and less syllables in the Greek. And then another interesting verse is Luke 20, verse 30. And in English, it's "and the second." "And the second." That's it. And it's the story in Luke where the Pharisees are telling the story of supposed story, a made-up story of a man who marries several women, and it's the reverse, right? It's the reverse. The woman marries several men, and they all. Did I get that right? Anyway, now I'm confused. But anyway, they all die, and like, you know, who's married to who in the end, right? And anyway, in the middle of that story, "and the second," it's just one verse, three words. But in Greek, it's 12 letters and five syllables. So "Jesus wept" is 16 letters long in Greek, and Luke 20, verse 30 is only 12 letters in Greek. Very nice. But it's not wrong to say "Jesus wept" as the shortest, because it is the shortest in English. And I should have. I thought this would be more than enough. This would be no more than enough. So, does anybody else have anything? I thought this would be enough. Sorry. So I guess going back to the today, did anybody see what? I just still can't get over that guy said that, what he did today. If you want to take a look at that, it's just, I don't know why people want to destroy America. Or maybe give them the benefit of the doubt to have a different view for America. But I guess we need to really pray for this country. Because you see that, and it's just like it seems so apocalyptic to me. Like, how could anybody say that? How could a leader of this country say such a thing? I guess let's have a prayer, and I guess that'll be the end. Unless somebody has something. Does anybody have anything? Let's pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we pray for our country, and we pray that it can turn back to you, Father. Father, we know that we have leaders that don't love you or anything close, apparently. And Father, we ask for, you know, at least some way that this country can turn back to you, Father. And Father, we pray that you help us, give us strength and the mindset to reach out to others and bring them to you. And Father, we pray for our sick and bless them, and help us bring others to you. And Father, bring back the sick, Father, and Father, help be with us and help us to bring souls into your kingdom. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Guess that's all I have. Does anybody have anything at all? Seriously, you want to? If not, I did have some other stuff in mind, but that's enough.